This is Jared O'Brien for the Christians Engaging Culture podcast. Christians Engaging Culture exists to equip Christians to give faithful answers in everyday cultural conversations and to turn those conversations to the gospel. Today we're listening to parenting tips from the parents of Martin Isles. It can be difficult raising kids to live in this rapidly changing world. It can be hard to answer their questions and to teach them the gospel. But these are some great and faithful tips from Martin Isles' parents. This comes from a portion of the Truth of It podcast from almost a year ago. We're thankful to the Australian Christian Lobby for allowing us to republish this podcast here, and you can find a link to their webpage and the Truth of It podcast in the show notes. We hope you find it helpful.
Okay, next up, something a little bit different. This is parenting tips. And you say, Martin, what the heck would you have to say about parenting tips? Well, these are not parenting tips from me. These are parenting tips from my parents, and I'm not kidding. It's been a slightly weird thing to me, but in recent times, I've had a number of people make a request to me in different forms for insight from my mum and dad about being parents. I had dinner with dad and mum recently in Queensland, and I mentioned this fact, and we sort of had a chuckle and kept talking, but the conversation came back to the issue, and I read them out a couple of these requests from different sources, and it kind of got to them, and they decided, well, maybe we should help. And then I said, well, maybe you could write down your top 10 parenting tips, and I'll do a Truth of It segment on that. And so they did. It wasn't actually 10. By the time you amalgamated mums and dads and got the overlaps and all that, it ended up being 15. But, you know, I'm going to faithfully deliver those points today in response to popular request. Now, there's a few preliminary notes to make. Firstly, my dad and mum are obviously happily married Christians, and their tips are very much coming from that position. There are those who are in more complex situations, single parents and, you know, the only Christian in the family and those sorts of things. Most of what these tips say, most of it is still completely relevant. There is a particular tip for you guys at the end, which my parents felt to add. Secondly, these tips really are about having a young family or people who are prospective parents or people who are looking, you know, at relationships. That it's that sort of phase. In terms of tips for teens, you know, being parents of teenagers, these principles are not irrelevant at all, but, you know, that might be a segment down the track if this is well received. And finally, you might ask, and plenty of you watching this will be like, who's this Martin bloke? We don't care about this Martin bloke or his parents. I appreciate that completely. The question then becomes, well, what are their qualifications to give these tips? Well, I had 6 kids in 6 years, and one passed away as an infant, the remaining 5. I'm the youngest, all very, very strong Christians and established and successful in life. At least I think that must be true. At least that's something seems to be what people have seen and mentioned, because they've also got 10 grandchildren so far. But a big part of their life has been talking about this very issue. Many people ask them for their advice. Many people seek their counsel on this very thing. And so there must be something about their lives and the way that they have run their families which has attracted that kind of inquiry and made them such a significant part of people's lives in, you know, issues of marriage and family and raising children and all the rest of it. But having said all that, there's my little preliminary spiel. Here are my 15 tips, top 15 from Dr. and Mrs. Isles, my dad and my mum. And they're great tips, by the way, and that's why I'm presenting them. I got them on the paper and I was like, oh, yes, this is good. So first, here's tip number one. Judges chapter 13, verse 8, the prayer of Samson's parents before he was born. They prayed, O Lord, please teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born. This is the prayer that my parents prayed before each of us kids was born, to ask God how to rear each child. And they both wanted me to emphasize the fact that it says us. They went on to say, your marriage relationship needs to be right, because you must be one in the task of parenting. It is a joint effort, and agreement is essential on intention, purpose, goal, and important aspects of raising children. But although the goal is joint, the roles of father and mother are different. Fathers do things mothers cannot do, and mothers do things fathers cannot do. Children need both. That's the first tip. We joint and ask God to show you how to raise the child. Second, the father must be the source of love in the family. My dad wrote this. The father must be the source of love in the family as he loves his children's mother. The mother is the supply of love in the family. She disseminates it to the family circle and wins the hearts of the children. I think that's beautifully put. Third, this is also from Dad. He says, fathers, take responsibility for your family because scripturally the buck stops with you. From Ephesians, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is the father who receives this responsibility, which includes enabling the mother to do what he cannot do. The backbone of the family is Dad. Too many fathers simply won't be what they ought to be. Sometimes mothers won't let them, but more often it is the former. Provide strength, authority, stability, and direction in your family. Fourth, this is from both. Well, they're all from both. It's been compared and contrasted and amalgamated, and some of these are blended points. Fourth, understand that God gave you your children. He entrusted them to you to guard them and guide them and bring them up for him. Scripture says children are a heritage from the Lord. It's important not to think so much that they are your creation, but that they are his creation and they belong to you. And not that they belong to you, but that they belong to him. When our children asked, where did I come from? We answered, from the heart of God. On the day of judgment, God is far more likely to ask you what you have done with your child than to find out how successful, important, or powerful you were. Fifth, establish the authority of Scripture in the whole of family life. Always ask, what does God say? And make that the clear standard. Decision making is never ultimately about peers, psychology, expectations of others, or the will of a child. It is always ultimately God said. To establish what is right and the importance of always doing what is right is vital. Which makes me reflect, actually, this was common. You know, we'd ask questions a lot as kids, and Dad's answer sometimes was, well, where's my Bible? Grab me my Bible. And he'd just open it up. He'd say, let's see, what does it say? And he'd turn to a bit and he'd read it with us. He'd say, right, what does this say? And then he'd ask us to explain it to him. And then that would be the answer to the question. I remember one particular moment, and of course, as a kid, you remember this because it relates to obedience to parents, and those sorts of things stick into your mind. But I remember Dad sitting around the dinner table, and he read the verse. We're going through Ephesians, and he read the verse, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And he just asked the question. He said, "Why is it important to obey your parents?" And we sort of looked at each other, and someone said, "Because you'll get us in trouble." And he said, "Well, that might be true, but no, tell me again." And he read it out again. He said, why should you obey your parents? And we had a few cracks at this. And then eventually we got it, because this is right. And then the question came, well, why is it right? Because God said, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And the authority of Scripture was always established as, you know, the moral compass. And the fact that if you found out what the moral compass said, you just did it. You just did it because it was the right thing to do. It was a good thing to do and it would work out. That was a big part of life. Anyway, sixth, they say pray together, and together is underlined, every day for guidance and patience, wisdom and understanding in your parenting. Listen to each other's prayers. That's important. Only one has the answer to all your problems, and that is God. Seventh, when it comes to character, this is a bit intimidating. When it comes to character, you cannot expect your child to become what you are not or behave according to what you lack. They read you long before they listen to you. They remember what you were long after what you have said is forgotten. You know, that's important. I actually do reflect on that. My parents were role models first and foremost. They were role models. And I got to say, I never as a kid, so unusual to see anything from mum or dad that was, you know, not morally impeccable. I've never to this day ever seen my parents have a fight. Not once. Never exchange a crossword. Not once. Never, you know, I could go on, and that just sounds crazy, I know. And people go, really? What rubbish? No, it's true. They were examples first and foremost and took that so seriously. And it's true. You remember who your parents are far long after what they've said is forgotten. So powerful. Anyway, I hope I'm not embarrassing anyone in the family by saying some of these things. Eighth. Am I up to eighth? Yes, eighth. Never make idle threats. Keep your word absolutely. be careful what you say, and always, always follow through. It's interesting, you know, the importance of somebody's word in Scripture is so vital. I think in James chapter 5, after James has given all these principles of wisdom for life, and then he says, but above all, he says, and you think, oh, crikey, after all this, what could possibly be so important? And he says, do not make an oath, you know, and you think, really? And the whole point of that bit is to say, let your word be your word, your yes be yes and your no be no. And I think mum and dad are probably pulling on that principle of Scripture, that your word really matters. And if you make a threat, follow through. If there's a punishment promised, make it happen. And I know that as kids, if there was something like that done, we knew for sure that there was no way out. You know, the word of mum and dad mattered. It meant something. But of course, our whole salvation rests on the word of God. And so, you know, our word also matters in all facets, including parenting. Moving on, where were we up to? Ninth, never argue with your child. There you go. I do see a lot of that, actually. Parents just having these sort of verbal spats with their kids and getting answered back and answer just as a disaster. Tenth, pray every day for and with your child. Remember, read the Bible with them, read stories with them. And I do remember that Mum actually wrote that first. And I cannot remember a time in my life, I can go back to my earliest memories of going to bed at night, and I cannot remember a time when I didn't pray with Mum. She always did that every evening. 11th, be a whole family. It shouldn't be a matter of dad living his life, kids having their life, mum having her life. Primarily, your life is your family life. 12th, all forms of evil and wrongdoing must not be overlooked, whether swearing, stealing, lying, temper, willful damage, etc. Discipline must invariably follow. The Bible speaks of a rod of discipline, not to necessarily speak of beating, but to make it clear that correction is an essential part of being a parent. That said, distinguish between wrongdoing with motive and genuine mistakes. Wrongdoing demands correction. Mistakes demand patience, especially when the child is young, lest you demoralize them. 13th, Mum says, absolutely avoid peer pressure from or with other mums. Stick with your own God-given convictions and be unashamed to do so. I don't know, she didn't write this down, but she made the point that she thinks that's gotten worse with social media, mums groups and things like that, with just pressure, peer pressure, inter-mum pressure. She says that that's just not a good idea to succumb to pressure. And she gave several examples of moments when she just had to stand up for what she believed in and not succumb to that pressure. 14th, communication with your child is important. And that's it. Nice short one. And finally, Mum wrote this one. She said, do not put your baby into daycare if there is any possible way not to. No one will ever love your child like you do, and it has been given to you to rear and to love as only a mother can. Childhood is short. Don't miss out on it, and you will spend the rest of your life reaping the rewards. And the child God gave you, you will give back to him. It's extraordinary. So there's 15 tips from Dr. and Mrs. Isles, or Martin's parents. Now, I said that there was something additional for those in challenging situations of family breakdown or non-Christian spouses or the myriad of things which these days disrupt family. And Dad and Mum have spent a good part of their lives supporting people in those sorts of circumstances. All my life, I've been aware of that. And first, they note that the principles mentioned are largely the same, you know, establishing authority of Scripture, praying for and with your child, living by example, all that kind of stuff. They say that that's the same. But there is no way around the fact that it's harder. Parenting is hard, full stop, and parenting alone is harder. And there's a fact of life, and there's no point pretending that it's otherwise. But they wanted to mention a couple of scriptures, and I've got them written down here. And the first one is, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ. And you say, well, even the need of a parent with an absent partner, even the need of a parent without a Christian partner, even the need of a childless woman who wishes it weren't so, all sorts of, you know, you could, all these various things that are difficult in families. Well, my parents referenced Isaiah 54. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called. Sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labour, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Now, that's pretty there's a particular future context for the nation of Israel in all of that, but it comes back to this. The promise is made in that specific context with that specific metaphor because that is something that God can in fact do. He can be the husband to the single. He can bring about more children for the barren in other ways, not biological, but in other ways. He can do all sorts of things. He can mend those broken things as part of this fallen world because he is God. And that is the extent of his great power. And that's why that metaphor makes sense. That's why that promise of future makes sense. So yes, the needs of people with all sorts of personal circumstances who fear the Lord can be met by a God who supplies all our needs. There you go. A segment built basically around with some editorializing by me, which I hope is okay, straight from my dad and my mum. And maybe I can convince them to do some tips for parents of teenagers down the track for some time, if there's feedback to that effect and if you guys like it. Now, that is the truth of it about, I think it's the truth about parenting. Is that too much to claim? No, it's not. The truth of it about being a good parent.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Christians Engaging Culture. Until next time, remember what C.S. Lewis said. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else.